The following podcast is brought to you by the Communication and Media Studies Department at Dominican University of California.
Yeehaw! And welcome everyone to In the Saddle with your host, DJ Iceberg. Strap on your boots and mount up with me as we take a ride through the equine world. Before my men, before my horses. Hello, today we are going to be talking about some more horseback riding equipment, so let's get started on talking about leg wraps. There are many reasons to wrap your horse's legs, including for protection while you're riding, to protect and cover an injured area, to control acute swelling of an injury, kind of like a compression sock, to protect their legs while hauling them, and to provide warmth or cold to injured tendons, ligaments, and fetlocks. It is so important to learn how to properly apply wraps because without this knowledge, a rider can unintentionally cut off the blood of the leg and compress the tendons if the wrap is too tight or if it's too loose and slides down and bunches up. You have to learn how much tension to use when applying certain wraps as it varies depending on the material. A rule of thumb to indicate a good wrap is if you can fit a finger in between the horse's leg and the wrap. Now, let's briefly discuss some of the vocabulary used for leg wraps. Cottons. They are the inside layer of mainly stable bandages. These can be either disposable cotton sheets or reusable wraps of cotton or synthetic materials. My sister uses reusable ones. In fact, I have never seen the sheets in person. Cotton inserts come in multiple sizes. There are also quilts, which are just cottons with a quilted pattern. Standing wraps also go by stall or stable wraps, depending on the person. Equestrians mostly use stable wraps for the same purpose as a standing wrap, but other riders use it to protect farther down the horse's leg. The outer layer of the bandage wraps around whichever cotton you choose. The fabric of these wraps can be cotton, which has little stretch for a solid wrap, and it can also be made out of fleece or nylon. Originally, these standing wraps were cotton and were secured by a large safety pin, but now they are secured by a Velcro strap. Polo wraps are fleece or nylon bandages and have a width that spans 2 to 6 inches. These can be used in lieu of a stall wrap around your cottons, but are more commonly used during exercise. There are also bandages worn during shipping, aptly named shipping wraps. There are two kinds of these, one that spans a few inches above the horse's knee to the top of the hoof. This is a one-piece shipping boot. It is less of a wrap and more ready-made. It generally has 3 to 4 Velcro straps to secure the padding to the horse. And the simpler version of this starts up around the same place as any other wrap, right below the horse's knee, and ends just above the hoof. The reasoning for the placement of these wraps is because when a horse is shipped, there can be some abrupt movements which can throw a horse off balance. And in the fight to stay steady, it can be common for the horse to step on their lower leg and possibly injure the coronary band, and this prevents that. Stretchy materials such as nylon may be easier to work with than cotton bandages, but the downside of the stretch is that it can be pulled too tight. You should never stretch the fabric more than 1.5 times its resting length. And under no circumstances can you stretch the fabric as tight as it can go. I can and will give you some do's and don'ts, but the best way to find out how to wrap different ways is to experiment with it and see what works best for you. You should start with wrapping your horse's leg in the middle, and from there wrap down and then back up. You can finish the wrap at the top or back down in the middle, whichever you choose. Whichever leg you are wrapping, you want to start at the front of the horse's leg and wrap outside going in. For the left front leg, that would mean going counterclockwise, and for the right front, that would mean wrapping clockwise. The tendons in a horse's leg can get compressed in this process, so you have to be extra careful to apply more tension at the front of the leg while wrapping and not apply too much pressure at the back of the leg. If you're using a wrap that requires an insert, be sure to check that the cotton, quilted or otherwise, does not have any substantial bumps in it. The last thing I will say on this topic is that you should never leave wraps on for more than 24 hours. So make sure you're checking up on your horse and that you take them off and let their legs breathe for a little while. When working with compression wraps specifically, it is especially important to take them off, not only to get the blood rushing back into the compressed area to aid in the healing process, but because leaving a compression wrap on for a long time can do a lot of damage to a horse's leg if it's left on for more than just a few hours. The next kind of horse accessory are horse boots. They can provide the same functions as wraps and are made with leather or neoprene. But leather has become more expensive, as many things have lately, so nowadays neoprene is the go-to material. They are essential to riding, specifically in competition, as boots are not only more sleek looking than a wrap, but provide more protection against injury, both on the flat and over obstacles due to its durability. To size these boots, a rider needs a horse's weight, measurements of the circumference of the legs, the length of certain parts on their legs, and the width of the hoof if purchasing bell boots. Without a proper measuring tape, you can go by your horse's weight. This is called the cowboy sizing system. Small sizes are for fit horses that have thin bones and weigh under 900 pounds, while medium sizes are for medium-boned horses that weigh 900 to 1100 pounds, and large sizes are for big-boned horses that weigh over 1100 pounds. The driving purpose behind horse boots is to protect the horse's leg and hooves. Each type of boot has the ability to protect from different injuries and are specifically made to be used in different disciplines. Dressage boots are best used for flat work and dressage and are built to protect your horse from interference when the horse's hooves hit their own legs during complex maneuvers on the ground. Support boots are built to support your horse's tendons, which helps reduce fatigue in competition. They also protect your horse from obstacles and are best used for jumping and eventing. The next type of boot is made to protect the fetlocks and are aptly named the fetlock boot. The fetlock is a joint on the lower part of the horse's leg. These boots are used for jumping, hunting, and eventing. They can also be used in conjunction with tendon boots, which protect the tendons, as well as bell boots. Though they can be used in training and in competition, my sister uses fetlock boots along with bell boots to put her horses out in pasture in case they get a wild hare. Bell boots cover the hooves and protect your horse's heels from the injury known as overreaching. These are for when a horse hits its front leg with its hind leg and can also help prevent a horse from stepping on their shoes, which can cause them to come loose and/or fly off and injure the horse. The last piece of tack that I would like to discuss with you is the bridle. A bridle is an essential piece of riding tack that holds the bit in the horse's mouth and aids in controlling the horse. There are also bitless bridles, which are best for the calmest of horses and can be just as useful as a bridle with a bit in the right situation. Bridles are made out of leather and have different components depending on the riding discipline. To be able to communicate with the horse, the bridle has to have reins which attach to the bit. The bridle needs to fit correctly and comfortably. While a bridle might fit, it is important to know how tight to make certain straps. For example, if you tighten a nose strap too much, it can impede a horse's respiratory system. I'm not going to talk about bits because the topic is too extensive, as there are so many kinds. But so you are informed, what a bit does is apply pressure to the mouth, whether the pressure is applied to the tongue, the roof of the mouth, the corners, or a combination of these depends on the type of bit used. I strongly recommend that you look up a diagram of the parts of a horse's bridle, either while you are listening to this or right after the fact to gain some visual clarity. The brow band is a piece of leather that sits across the horse's forehead, above the eyes and in front of the ears. This piece is attached to the crown piece, which lies behind the horse's ears. The bridle has two cheek pieces, one for each side of the horse's face, which attaches to the side straps on each side of the horse's face and connects to the crown piece. The two side straps are composed differently, so if you're wondering which is which, the one that is wider is for the cheek piece. The throat latch is the second side strap on the right side of the bridle, which is longer and thinner than the cheek piece. This piece passes under the horse's jaw, attached to a small piece of leather on the horse's left. This piece should not be secured too tightly. You should be able to fit your fist or four fingers in between the strap and the horse's jaw, though this does depend on your hand size. The noseband is a piece of leather that goes around the horse's muzzle. There are two parts of this, one that is composed of one piece of leather and stays fixed over the front of the horse's nose, and the back has two pieces of leather with a buckle on one side and holes punched on the other to secure it. One should note that not all bridles for horses need a noseband. In fact, Western horses most of the time utilize bridles with no noseband at all. The flash is a thin piece of leather that attaches to the center of the noseband and is attached to the horse by wrapping it around the lower part of the muzzle and underneath the outside of the bit. Just like with the noseband, these can be too tight and cause breathing problems by putting pressure on the sinuses and forcing the mouth to remain closed, resulting in a lack of oxygen. English bridles are mainly used for dressage, jumping, and eventing, and typically include a noseband for better control. But if Western riders don't use it, who is really to say which is better? There are several variations on the English bridle, the first and most common being the snaffle. Snaffle bridles have one bit which can be chosen at the rider's discretion and has a singular set of reins. Double bridles are used in dressage and on stronger horses and have two bits and two sets of reins. Lastly are the Pelham bridles, which have one bit and two sets of reins and are used in schooling horses over small obstacles. Western bridles are used in Western riding. This includes trail riding, during ranch work, and varying rodeo events. This style of bridle typically does not have a noseband, and some even lack a brow band as well. There are no Western bridles that have more than one bit and one set of reins. A bridle that does have a noseband is called the Hackamore bridle. This is a biteless bridle that is used for training and showing horses. There is no bit in this bridle, so the horse is controlled by a nose piece called a bozal, which means muzzle in Spanish. This piece is a braided rawhide noseband patented by the Spanish vaqueros. Gag bridles have rounded cheek pieces that attach to the reins and to the rings of a gag bit. This type of historically Western bridle is now most frequently used in rodeo events, polo, and even show jumping. The working bridle is generally used for trail riding and ranch work, but some fancier versions are still used in rodeos as well. They have a throat latch and a brow band to keep the bridle in place and are generally used with a curb bit, but can also be used with a snaffle or Pelham bit. A one-ear bridle has one ear strap attached to the crown piece. This hoop substitutes as a brow band to keep the bridle in place. They can be used on horses that have a sensitive forehead, and the earpiece's size can be adjusted if the ears are sensitive as well. Some have a throat latch, but the ones without a throat latch are the ones that are used in competition, while the ones with it are used in pleasure riding. The two-ear bridle has the same design as the one-ear bridle, but with a hoop for each ear. There is no throat latch on these bridles, so they are used exclusively for rodeos. There are so many resources online, so make sure you do your research before you buy your gear. Until next time, Iceberg out.